Spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. As we seek your face, may we know your heart, feel your presence, acceptance. As we seek your face, move among us now, come reveal your love, fill our hearts with praise, Lord, move among us now. At your feet we fall, O sovereign God. We cry, holy, holy. At your feet we
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christchurch Baldock in North Harts. My name is Chris Jenkins. I'm one of the ministers here. This is my wife, Becca, and it's lovely to have your company this morning.
Good morning. It's lovely to see people checking in on the live stream. Thank you very much for letting us know that you're watching. It's lovely to see your names and to know that you're with us.
Yeah, good morning, Michael and Margot. Morning, Ronke. Morning, Helen Hunt, lots of other people.
I've been really encouraged this week hearing from individuals and home groups about how you're keeping in touch with each other in a really intentional and caring way. Thank you for that. It means an awful lot to us to know that it's happening. We're really encouraged to know that the church is acting as church, even during these times when we can't meet together physically.
We're encouraging everyone to spend a few minutes praying before the start of our services online. We'd really appreciate that if you would do that. Then the church prayer meeting is a week tomorrow, Monday the 18th of May at 8 o'clock on Zoom. Do take advantage of the kids and youth provision, which Hannah, Sarah and Helen and Catherine Bryant are providing. We're very grateful to them for that. It's all terrific stuff. So do watch that with your children. We're going to have a week of prayer from Monday the 1st to Sunday the 7th of June. This is to coordinate with our ministry review and to pray for our ministries as we go forward. More details of that to follow, but please do have those dates in mind. Let's begin now with a prayer. Father, we thank you for your presence with us. Thank you that you welcome us into your holy presence. Not because we are good, for Lord, we know that we are sinful. We know that we don't deserve to come into your presence. But we thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you that he died on the cross and paid for all our sin, that we might be forgiven and welcomed in your holy presence. So we come to you this morning, Father, trusting in Christ, And we pray that you'll draw near to us and enable us to worship you, to hear your voice in the scriptures, and to become more like the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. And now Saoirse Heath-White is going to read to us from Psalm 37.
Good morning. We're going to be reading from Psalm 37, verse 1 to 18. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend the bow to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose ways are upright. But their swords will pierce their own hearts, and their bows will be broken. Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked. For the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The blameless spend their days under the Lord's care, and their inheritance will endure forever.
Thank you, Saoirse, for bringing us our reading. In reflection on that psalm, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you that you are the Lord, the only God, that you are sovereign over all human affairs and over all spiritual powers. We praise and thank you, Lord, that we can come to you in prayer, knowing that we come to one who is able to act in response to our prayers. Father, as we reflect on the events of our own times, and as we look back and remember your deliverance in history, we praise you that you are faithful. We praise you, Lord, that we do not need to fear because we are under your sovereign care. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the victory over evil that is promised in your word and demonstrated at the cross. Father, we thank you for the victory that was won by the Lord Jesus, even as he died there, as he demonstrated your power, your authority and your love, that he paid for sin, so that in trusting you we can have a certain hope of resurrection and eternal life, an eternal inheritance with you that will last forever. And Lord, whatever happens to us in this life, and even in this coming week, help us to remember this great hope. And in the words of the psalmist, Lord, help us not to fret. Forgive us, Lord, that we give way to doubt and fear, or resentment, or envy, and we start fretting. And Lord, we haven't trusted you. We confess our sin and we thank you for your forgiveness. And we pray, Lord, that we would go on in trust and confidence, waiting patiently for your deliverance. Father, we commit to you those who rule us and make decisions that affect all our lives. And we pray for wisdom for them. We pray for insight for their scientific advisors. We pray, Lord, that as decisions are made and announced, that you would be gracious to our nation and to the world. We pray, Lord, that what happens in the coming week would be for our good. Above all, Lord, we pray that it would be to the advance of the gospel. Lord, help us as we look out for each other and support each other. We pray for those who are truly alone and those who are in real need. Lord, would you meet their needs? But we pray too that you'd help us, your people, to seek to meet one another's needs. We pray for those who are serving you far afield across the world, that you would draw near to them, that you would help and strengthen them, give them courage, give them faith, keep them in good health. And Lord, we long for the day when we might gather together publicly and share fellowship with one another and proclaim your word openly. But in the meantime, Lord, we thank you that we can have these services and meetings online. And Lord, we pray that as many people hear the word preached and read, that you would powerfully be at work, drawing people to yourself and shaping us all into the likeness of the Lord Jesus. So now, Lord, we pray that as we hear your word preached this morning, you'd give us open hearts, attentive minds, that you would cause us, Lord, to have faith in you and to obey you. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Amen.
Now we have another short reading, and this is from Matthew chapter 5. We're working our way through the Beatitudes. Jesus' sayings at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. So Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth."
Taylor University is a Christian college in the US. Years ago, they were pleased to learn that an African student, Sam, was going to be enrolling in their school. That was before it was a commonplace for students from the developing world to come and study in the West. He was a bright young man with great promise, and the school felt honoured to have him. When he arrived on campus, the president of the university took him on a tour, showing him all the dorms. When the tour was over, the president asked Sam where he would like to live. The young man replied, "If there's a room that nobody else wants, give that room to me." The president turned away in tears. Over the years, he'd welcomed thousands of young Christians to the campus, and none had ever made such a request. "If there's a room that no one else wants, give that room to me." That's the kind of meekness Jesus talks about in the Beatitudes. If there's a job that nobody else wants, I'll do that job. If there's a kid nobody else wants to eat lunch with, I'll eat with that kid. If there's a hardship somebody has to endure, I'll take that hardship. If there's a sacrifice someone needs to make, I'll make that sacrifice. This is so different to the ways of our society. How do you get on and succeed in life? Our society says, we live in a dog-eat-dog world in which those with a selfish streak take the spoils. Is that right? Jesus says here in Matthew 5:5, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." This was revolutionary in Jesus' day, as it is in ours. We're in the Sermon on the Mount, which is Jesus' value system for the kingdom of heaven, which he's inaugurating. Jesus lived in a multicultural society of Jews, Romans, and Greeks. The Romans had achieved supremacy through aggressive power. They'd succeeded the Greeks as the imperial power. The Jews were a long defeated nation, but their pride was not crushed. They took pride in their race, believing that their relationship with God made them superior to others. The Romans obviously took pride in their power. They had the greatest empire of the age. The Greeks took pride in wisdom and knowledge. Theirs was the philosophical tradition of Plato and Aristotle and the other great thinkers of the classical world. Into this culture, Jesus speaks his revolutionary words, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." What is meekness? Meekness is not to be confused with weakness. It isn't weakness, but restrained strength. In classical Greek, the word used for meek referred to a horse that had been tamed and bridled. It has to do with self-control. Meekness means restraining one's own power so as to give room to others. To restrain our natural aggression in order to treat others with gentleness and respect. The word for meekness is also translated as gentleness in the New Testament. For example, Paul writes to Timothy, "The servant of the Lord must be gentle, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose him." 2 Timothy 2:24 and 25. Or as Jesus says about himself in Matthew 11:29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, meek, and humble in heart." I'd like to show you meekness in the life of Moses, meekness in the life of Jesus, meekness in the life of Paul, and finally I want to apply this teaching. Firstly then, meekness in the life of Moses. Moses had a massive job. He was called to lead the Israelites out of Egypt through the wilderness to the promised land. Through all this, the children of Israel were a great trial to Moses and to God. They complained and rebelled and disobeyed over and over again. Despite the miracles they saw, time and again they criticized Moses and were ungrateful for his godly leadership. In all these conflicts, Moses behaved with meekness, with restraint, with gentleness. Numbers 12:3 says, "Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth." The ESV renders this verse, "Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all people who were on the face of the earth." The context of this verse is that Miriam, Moses' sister, and Aaron, Moses' brother, were opposing Moses, Numbers 12:1. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. "Has the Lord spoken only through Moses?" they asked. "Hasn't he also spoken through us?" And the Lord heard this. Not only does the Lord hear this, he vindicated Moses, his meek servant. Numbers 12:7 and 8. God says of Moses, "He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" Moses had every reason to be aggressive. and he was a strong leader. He could assert himself, but he was humble. He was meek. He was God-reliant. Secondly, let me show you meekness in the life of Jesus. Did you know the Pope gave a TED talk? Whatever you think about the Catholic Church and about its current spiritual leader, Pope Francis offered these biblically based words about the use of power. The more powerful you are, the more your actions will have an impact on people. The more responsible you are to act humbly. If you don't, your power will ruin you, and you will ruin the other. There's a saying in Argentina, power is like drinking gin on an empty stomach. You feel dizzy, you get drunk, you lose your balance, and you'll end up hurting yourself and those around you if you don't connect your power with humility and tenderness. Through Christ-like humility and concrete love, on the other hand, power, the highest, the strongest one, becomes a service, a force for good. Pope Francis is spot on there. There's an old children's hymn that begins, "Gentle Jesus, meek and mild." Although the hymn is not widely sung today, it's deeply affected our impression of Jesus. Clearly, Jesus was no pushover. Famously, he cleanses the temple, driving out the entire crowd in the market held by the priests in the temple courts. Jesus was enacting the judgment of God. But he was certainly very meek. He restrains his strength in order to love, serve, and ultimately die for his enemies. The greatest demonstration of the meekness of Jesus is where he goes to the cross. He could have called down legions of angels to rescue him. He could have destroyed his enemies with a word, but he doesn't. He restrains his strength. He's like a lamb, silently going to the slaughter. He does not open his mouth. He meekly allows himself to be sacrificed for the sins of the world. As Isaiah prophesied, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Isaiah 53, verse 7. Thirdly, let me show you meekness in the life of Paul. Paul shows us how to copy Christ. Philippians 3, 4 to 11 describes how Paul had reason for pride in his birth, education, and religion, but counted all these things as rubbish compared with the greatness of knowing God. Paul suffered great persecution. He did not respond with anger, but continued to love his enemies. 2 Corinthians 10 is instructive, verse 1. By the humility and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold towards you when away, I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think we live by the standards of the world. So Paul is extremely strong. He's a dynamo, travelling the known world, establishing churches, defeating opponents. But his preferred approach is humility and gentleness. In Galatians 5:23, meekness or gentleness is part of the fruit of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 4:21, Paul says to the disobedient Corinthians, "What do you prefer? Shall I come to you with a rod of discipline? Or shall I come in love and with a gentle spirit, meekness?" So Moses, Jesus, and Paul all model to us the biblical life of meekness. Jesus alone, of course, did this perfectly. Now let's apply this teaching about meekness to ourselves. I was reading recently about the puffer fish. The puffer fish can inflate into a ball shape to evade predators. Also known as a blowfish, these clumsy swimmers fill their elastic stomachs with huge amounts of water and sometimes air, and blow themselves up to several times their normal size. But these blow-up fish aren't just cute. Most pufferfish contain a toxic substance that makes them foul-tasting and potentially deadly to other fish. The toxin is deadly to humans, 1,200 times more deadly than cyanide. There's enough poison in one pufferfish to kill 30 adult humans, and there is no known antidote. Like pufferfish, humans can blow themselves up with pride and arrogance to make themselves look bigger than they are. And this pride can become toxic to a marriage, a church, or a friendship. No wonder the late Bible scholar John Stott once said, "Pride is your greatest enemy. Humility is your greatest friend." It's a commonplace for people to give way to pride. I've done it myself many times. Beethoven rejected meekness and equality in favour of cultural elitism. "Power," he said, "is the moral principle of those who excel others." Nietzsche famously rejected Christian meekness as tolerating a parasitic revolt by the low against the lofty, the manly, and the high. Nietzsche said that man must become a superman, and that it did not matter if you hurt others or were hurt yourselves, provided you achieved power and dominance. Nietzsche's ideas inspired Hitler and enabled Hitler to view the annihilation of his enemies as a virtue. Yet Nietzsche died mad. He'd chosen an utterly destructive philosophy. Hitler, having done enormous evil, committed suicide. As Romans 8, 5 and 6 puts it, "Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace." The values of the Kingdom of God cut right across worldly values, as we saw in Psalm 37. Jesus is alluding to Psalm 37, verse 11. "But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity." Psalm 37 has often calmed the anxious Christian verse 1. Do not fret because of those who do evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord, verse 3, and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, verse 4. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, verse 5. Be still before the Lord. Do not fret, verse 7. Verse 8. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. And at the heart of all this is meekness in verse 11. Contrast the wicked. Contrast those who are not meek, verse 13. The Lord laughs at the wicked. Verse 15. Their swords will pierce their own hearts. Verse 17. The power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. Verse 18. The blameless spend their days under the Lord's care, and their inheritance, the land, will endure forever. Here then is a choice for us. We can either be like Christ, we can be meek, or we can be selfishly grasping, like the wicked. Remember Jesus, for I am gentle and humble in heart, Matthew 11:29. Remember Paul, copying Jesus. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Ephesians 4:2-3. We must restrain our aggression, especially in leadership. 2 Timothy 2:25. Opponents must be gently instructed, in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. Ultimately, do we believe Jesus when he says, "The meek shall inherit the earth"? Do we believe him enough to emulate him? The Israelites, on the basis of Abraham's faith and revelation, inherited the promised land. In the same way, Christian believers, by grace through faith, inherit the earth. In other words, we will be with Christ in the new creation when he returns. Psalm 2:8 says, "Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession." Jesus promises a spiritual inheritance and a restoration of the created order. God's people will rule in the new creation, as Adam was intended to do in Genesis 1. As Revelation 5:10 puts it, "You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. And even now, all things are yours," says Paul in 1 Corinthians 3:21. All things are yours. All things. Every spiritual blessing and the gift of the new creation. It is yours if you are in Christ. And therefore, we should be meek. We should be Christ-like. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? We can afford to be meek because God is on our side. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Shall we spend a few minutes in silence and ask ourselves some questions? Have we been meek this week? Or have we been pushy? Have we been self-serving? Or have we sought to sacrifice ourselves for others' good? Have we been meek leaders like Moses? Have we been self-sacrificial like Jesus? Have we been restrained in our use of power like Paul? Are there opportunities in our lives to grow in meekness? Are there relationships where to act with meekness will bring peace and harmony? Can we model Christ-like meekness to the unbelieving non-Christian world? Can we show the world Jesus in this way? And if you're not a Christian yet, Jesus is showing us a more excellent way, a better way to live, with him as King, living for God's kingdom, with the values of God's kingdom. I commend this life to you. Live with Jesus as King. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you again for Jesus. We thank you for his meekness. Thank you that he went to the cross silently, like a lamb, that he did not open his mouth. And Lord, we confess that we are self-centered, that we are selfish, that we are pushy and aggressive. And we pray for your help to emulate the Lord Jesus, to be meek like him. And Father, if there are any listening this morning who are not Christians yet, I pray that you'll draw near to them and enable them to live under the rule of Jesus as King. Help all of us to come into the freedom of knowing what it is to follow Jesus. So, Lord, we give our lives to you now. In Jesus' name, Amen. We're going to have a couple of songs now sung to us by the Cubitt family. So let's reflect on God's word as we hear these songs.
Spirit within me, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. as we seek your face. May we know your heart, feel your presence, acceptance as we seek your face. Move among us now, come reveal your love, fill our hearts with praise, Lord. Move among us now. At your feet we fall, O sovereign God. We cry, holy, holy, at your feet we fall.
We're very grateful to the Qubit family for providing our music this morning. Let's close with a prayer. Father, we thank you for our time together this morning. Thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for your word. Lord, send us out now in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. And would we know your blessing on our lives, on our church, and on all those that we love, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you'd like to get yourself a coffee and join us on Zoom for a chat, we'd love to have your company. And the details for that are going to come up on the screen. We'll be operating a waiting room for your security and protection. So, see you in a few minutes on Zoom, hopefully. Thank you very much. Bye-bye, everyone.